Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. He's actually not going to be with us today, so I am your host, Jeannie Rice. Today is Thursday, January the 16th, 2014, and our calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show, especially on days like today, which when I didn't know I was going to host and I don't really have a topic. It definitely helps the show to go a little better to get feedback from you all, to get your questions and your comments. So please call in, press 1, and give me a chat. So chat room, I'm going to probably be a little bit absent out there because it's a little bit more than a multitask to write and to talk and to do the switchboard all at the same time. So Dr. Tim's not with us yet either, so when he pops on, I'll get him talking with us. Tomorrow, just as a reminder, is our Aramaic Friday with Dale Hoffman, and that's always a thrill to have him with us, and so you all tune in tomorrow and have your questions ready for Dale. He is very versed in Aramaic, and between he and Michael, they can carry on a whole conversation without any questions, but definitely be there and call in and be part of that. It's awesome. If you're not familiar with what we do on this show, our website is www.whyagain, that's whyagain.org. If you go to whyagain.org and up at the top left-hand corner, there's a button that says Start Here, or you can click on, there's a bullseye right in the middle of the page, and you can click on that and it'll take you to the same place, and that's where to get started. And the best place that we can tell you to start out, if you're not familiar with it, is to read chapter 24 of Michael's book, which is Michael walking the character Richard through how to do a worksheet, how to get rid of his reality. All through the book, he's worked with Richard and getting him to see that the things that are happening in his life, that he has part of that creation, and that if he doesn't like what he's created, that he can change it. And so the forgiveness worksheet is, how do you change that? How do you go inside and remove the energies that don't belong? We always start out all of our workshops asking people to describe a newborn, and people come back with awesome, wonderful, miracle, precious, pure, and we tell them, you've just described who you are. That's, you're created in the image of the Creator, and it says God is love. Then that's what you are. You are love. You're the very essence of it. It's what you move through, what you live in, what you are, your very being. And so if you feel anything less than that, the fears, hostilities, angers, griefs, pains, things that we've been taught to buy into, and a lot of times we take that on as our identity, but if you're experiencing any of that in your life, then it's just a signal. Your emotions are like the alarm, fire alarm. It's saying that something is off. Something needs to have some attention. And so forgiveness is going inside and removing those things that are less than your very being and getting back to being who you are. And so all of our work, that's like the foundation or the core of it. We expand out and we do other things, healing through relationships and codependence and lots of other areas. And for you all who maybe haven't been beyond the forgiveness worksheet, when you click on that Start Here or the Bullseye, the first thing you'll see at the top is Chapter 24, and you can click on that and read the book online or read Chapter 24 online right there. You can actually read the whole book online. But read Chapter 24, you can click on the 7-step form, which is the one that we use most often. There's also a quick form, and there's several other different styles of the forgiveness worksheet. So you can click on those. There's live recordings where we have walked people through doing a worksheet. So you can listen to those as you're going through, and that gives you a perfect example of how to do a worksheet. Then if you scroll on down and get past all of the reality management, then we have other worksheets that go along with all of our DVDs, the codependence and the commitments and responsibility communication. All of them are listed there, and it tells what DVD that worksheet goes along with. So if you have the DVDs, you can watch them and do the worksheet as you go. There's also a link that says what tools to use when. So if you click on that, it'll give you some more insight. So there's lots of things out there, and I have spent the last couple of days, I finally have kind of settled down after all of our traveling and our family time, and we're sort of locked in here at Branson, and so I've been working on the website more than I have in the last few months. So you find anything, drop me an email, something that needs correcting. Somebody sent me an email the other day and said that our Mind Shifter intro and outro still says whyagain.com, and yes, we know that, but they're wanting a crazy amount for us just to change that one little line in that. So, you know, if you go to whyagain.com, it will redirect you to whyagain.org, but for right now, that's not on the top priority to redo that recording, so you'll just have to bear with us that it's incorrect. I see Dr. Tim has joined us, so I'm going to turn him on. And Dr. Tim, it's me, and if you could be with me, you, today, hosting. Michael has actually gotten several people, Chuck and some other gentlemen, to help him over at the property. For those of you who have been listening, you know that we had a building roof collapse. And it's got some materials in it that are good, some wood and some tiles and different things. And there's a car in there that needs to be gotten out from under the rubble. But they're going to clean out another warehouse that we have on the property and try to move the good stuff over to the other warehouse so that it's at least protected, because without a roof, you know, with more rain and snow and things falling on it, then the material wouldn't be good after a while. So there's several people out there helping him this morning and this afternoon to get things cleaned up and moved over to the other building. The price that was coming back with us to fix that building was a little more than we're prepared to do right now. So if we can get everything that was in it transferred over into a safe place, we'll just let go of repairing that new building for a while, or repairing the old building. And so anyway, how are you doing today, Dr. Tim?
I'm well. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Wonderful. 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 Well, I hold the space for the repairs and the team doing it, and holding gratitude for those who are lending a hand physically, and look forward to hearing the updates as they occur. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Seemed like the best thing to do for right now anyway. And today the weather's up in the low 50s, so that's better than it has been. It's supposed to turn cold again tonight and possibly some more snow. So they're trying to get everything handled today. And Judy had some friends that she got a hold of. And then, of course, Magda or Chuck is over there helping him. And so sounds like they've got several hands busy.
Good, good. As for the website stuff, I have wondered since you opened up whyagain.org that the whyagain.com, once the whyagain.org got nicely functional, why the whyagain.com doesn't just redirect to the
right, and there is. Yeah, and there is a button at the top of it. So if you go to whyagain.com, there's a thing that says click here, and it automatically then will redirect you. But there are a few things that we haven't been able to get to work. I mean, very few. Like, For instance, there's an online worksheet, there's a couple of games, things like that that we're working on the old site. We haven't been able to get them to work on the new site. And I've heard several people say that they, you know, want to keep using that. And so we definitely want some of those features to stay there until we can get it all over to the old one. But then we also had such a, I don't know the technical term for like followers on the website, and you get a, I guess, like a classification and kind of move up on the ranks and things like that. So Wygen.com already had a good history built, and we would like for that to transfer over to .org, but we don't want to lose it. So I guess that's one of the main reasons for keeping it. You know, we don't update it, but we do keep it alive. And there is a link on every page that says click this button and it will redirect you to the new website. But, yeah, it would be good to eventually for somebody just to type that in and it automatically feed them over.
I'm sure it will happen when it's the right time.
Yeah, for sure. So have you had any themes or anything going on this morning?
Well, the biggest thing is I've been thinking a lot about the little debate we were having yesterday about trying to come up with the right word for what, you know, seemed to me to be a refinement, and Mongbill just liked it, and several people I've talked to have liked it. And Michael was saying, you know, that it doesn't really fit because I'm saying that I'm choosing, and the word choice refers to a spiritual faculty. So I've thought about it quite a bit since then in my spare time here and there. And I believe Michael and I are talking about the same thing and using slightly different words. And since words are so important in terms of understanding the actual functioning, and it's important if we're going to be teaching people how their internal mind and body energy system actually works, that we should be very careful about any of these new refinements that we might put out. And so the thing that came to me, it might be exactly what we were talking about yesterday. One of the things is I just love that phrase from the Yeam's work with the Beatitudes. Before he gets into the Beatitudes, he says, "The essence of this teaching is to let me know that any time I'm disturbed, it's a gift. And the gift is that in that moment, I have the ability, I have the chance to bring a new presence to energies that once defeated me." And we're talking about, if I get upset with something, how it's my very, very active perceptual process that's got me focused on a very tiny bit, Michael would say, the 9 bits out of every 10,000 units of electrical activity that are firing in my brain, my conscious mind can be aware of 9 out of 10,000 bits of information being processed in my brain. So if I'm focused on the 9 bits that show me I need to be angry or hurt or sad or scared or confused or any other negative emotion, that's happening for a reason in this moment. And what Michael was trying to say yesterday is that it's happening for the reason that I have those upset energies in me and they are getting resonated. And there is no choice in whether or not I feel the upset when those things are getting resonated. And what I was coming to with a few sessions with people is that out of the trillion bits of information that are available, my conscious mind is focused on this 9 bits, which is resonating that upset. And so something is, and this is the phrasing that came to me since our last call, something is pulling my attention to those 9 bits when that then resonates my upset. And if that were not happening, I could choose with a spiritual faculty to focus on a different 9 bits out of this 20 trillion bit world and end up with a loving response. And I don't have the ability to choose when my attention has been pulled and I've been triggered or resonated this anger or hurt or sadness, and unless I work to dismantle that energy, it'll be there again to attract my attention, to pull me in that way, to knock me out of my awareness of my connection to my true source's love. So that's my offering for today, that I actually, I believe Michael and I are talking about the same thing and trying to find words to clearly state there's this process of resonance that happens and there is this spiritual faculty of choice. However, if I'm not connected to my true nature as love, I really don't have access to my true spiritual faculties. And then I'm operating from the ego's cheap copies of those spiritual faculties. And I've made the decision to focus on these 9 bits rather than having the choice to see the whole picture and see my true nature as the energy of love.
That sounds very accurate to me. And I totally agree. And, you know, it's like this morning, I got an email from someone, and it really triggered for me the part of my past where I haven't done something just exactly perfect. And like I've dropped the ball, I'm less than competent or whatever. And so that triggered and came up for me. And I had to breathe. I started writing an email back to them. I didn't send it, but I started writing email back. And as I was writing the email, then I started also like processing because I was attempting to write the email with responsibility communication by saying, you know, when I received your email and read it, you know, this is what is up for me. My reality is. And I went on to explain my reality. And I said, and I will do my work around what it's bringing up for me. And I ask for assistance and responsibility on your part as well. And then I proceeded to describe the situation to them as it really was, or as I saw it. But anyway, I put the email on hold, and I called Michael, and I said, I know you're in the middle of moving things around, but I need some assistance here. I have an issue going on. And, you know, he talked to me for just a few minutes and was like, you know, just put it on hold and, you know, do your work around it, and when I get back, you know, we'll deal with it, and I'll call the gentleman. So, but I did have to process through it. I mean, I could have very easily decided to just send that email and just stay in my 9 bits of, you know, oh, they're making me look incompetent. And instead of working through it and going, oh, okay, now wait a minute. You know, they see it totally different from the way I'm seeing it. And from their viewpoint, you know, it's kind of like holding that coin up between two people, and one person sees the head and one person sees the eagle on the sides of the coins. And so you ask, you know, okay, well, they say there's a head on it, and you're saying there's an eagle on it. Are they lying? And it's like, no, you know, they're both stating from their perspective, from their side, what they see. And so it's coming to the knowledge of, okay, this person just sees something totally different than I see it. And what they're saying really has nothing to do with me. I'm taking it on as mine. So it was a very subtle shift from deciding to just tell them and then taking the choice to, okay, I'm going to reconnect here. I'm going to look at this differently. And there's still some work to be done around it before Michael gets here, because I still want to send this email. I might reword it a little bit to be a little bit nicer, but so anyway, I still have some work around it. But yes, sometimes it's very subtle, but to decide to do something or to choose to do something. And you've got to get out of your mind, because as long as I stayed in my 9 bits of what they're saying and what they're doing and they're wrong, I couldn't see even the subtlest part of, oh, they just are seeing it from a different side. And so it definitely sometimes can be just a little subtle difference, but it's being able to have that space of love, whether it's yourself or someone else holding it for you, to be able to dissolve it and to be able to change it.
Well, and the bottom line is that if the ancient spiritual teachers are right, then all that is real is God and is love, and if I'm seeing, perceiving, or experiencing anything else, I have some work to do.
Absolutely. We just had two callers pop in. Let's see what one of them has to say. The first one might be Rex. Area code 517, you're on the air.
Hello, everyone.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a beautiful day in paradise.
Awesome. A little bit warmer weather.
Yes, it is a little warmer. I wasn't necessarily referring to the weather, but that's a part of paradise. It's just all a matter of what I choose to put my attention on, and that's kind of why I called in and raised my hand. I've been listening to the conversation yesterday and today, and I just would offer one additional piece to the resonance. I don't think we have choice or decision as to what is resonated. I think we have choice as to what we are able to perceive and intend it through. And what I mean by that is the law of resonance is no respecter of persons. And so it doesn't say I'm going to resonate this for that person, and if this person chooses not to resonate it, they won't. I don't think it works that way. I think that what happens is when I don't have it here in my being, in my carbon-based memory, then there's nothing to resonate, and there's no choice to make one way or the other. But if I have it here, it will be resonated if there's someone in my field to resonate it for me, or someone in the planet that's going to resonate it for me. And where choice comes in is my ability to choose Rakmakula filters to engage versus my hostility or fear filters to engage. Now I will experience it through love, but I don't have anything to say about whether it's resonated or not. And when I do have something to say about it, it says that I use a tool, the breath, the forgiveness, some tool to remove the carbon-based memory, then therefore there's nothing there to resonate. That would be the piece that I would add to that conversation.
No objections here.
Sounds right on, too. Yeah.
Awesome. And I, again, just gives me an opportunity to appreciate everyone and all the love that we all manifest, but you, Jeannie, and your work that you do, and your diligence, and Kim, and our whole community, and it's awesome to be a part of it, and I'm just very appreciative and thankful and lots of gratitude, and we've had a number of occasions where we have now gone 3 weeks without going into the prison, and we're excited about, maybe, I'm excited about the plan of going in next Tuesday, and then when Tuesday morning shows up and I get the okay that we're going, then we'll set it as a goal. So working a lot with, you know, clarifying the idea between goals and plans, and I've been getting a much deeper understanding of that myself, and it's been very helpful, the comprehension of the mind's function to reduce stress by trying to fulfill goals or offering information to fulfill goals and creating stress while trying to reduce it. In anything that's a plan that's beyond the day I'm in, and it's been very helpful to really focus on that, and I've been sharing it more with the people I'm working with as well. So lots is going on, and we'll keep you updated as we move closer to it. We've got a Laws of Living course coming up in February that I'm going to be teaching here in Lansing. I am introducing another concept. It's not new, but I'm slightly different twist on it. At the Coptic Center in February, the 16th, at the Sunday service, I'm doing a talk called, and it is wonderful, Mitzi and I collaborated on this, but I'm going to do a talk called Dying to Get There. And it's pretty exciting to be able to introduce that to another level of how we are, you know, working this piece called death. So I'll be doing a talk on that. And then the following Saturday, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, wow.
Yeah, it's powerful. Yeah, I'm excited about the material. And it was what I really thought I was going to be teaching in the last workshop that I did experiencing pure joy by embracing your child and the still point breathing workshop. But as it panned out, we had quite a few people that were relatively new to the material. We had 29, I think there were 29 people altogether, and it just didn't come forth. So I was inspired to offer it now at the Coptic Center, and I'll be talking on death and what we're doing with it, and actually talking about life, but in under the pretense of discussing death. So it's all kind of fit together as part of the illusion. So I just thought I would just share a little bit more, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to share. And I open up the call for you have another caller, and I'd love to hear what they have to say and address their questions.
Awesome. And, yeah, we'll be there. You mentioned the Spiritual Unity of Nations, and that made me think I need to get that on the website, too. We're scheduled to be at their conference in October up there, and then we have a whole week from October the 12th to the 18th scheduled to do workshops, and then we're going to do some other things around in Lansing in your area, so we need to start working on that as well. But, yeah.
Absolutely.
Some conferences.
Let's connect and get that together.
Absolutely. We'll do that. Thanks.
Awesome, Jeannie. God bless you. And God bless you, Tim.
You too. All right, we've got two more callers. The next one is area code 607. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Well, it's Richard from Ithaca. How is everybody?
Good. How are you doing, Richard?
I'm doing well. So it's an interesting day for me with the radio show. I just want to make a comment to Rex, though, when he spoke about dying for tomorrow. You know, I think there's that quote in the Bible when Christ said about, you know, look at the birds and the bees in the field, you know, they're not anxious for tomorrow, something like that. Anyway, I just thought maybe he'd probably want to use that quote. What really brought me to the show today was I was actually looking for my responsibility communication sheet today and couldn't find it. I was like, okay, I'm in the process of making a decision, of basically running for the president of the association I'm involved with, and I feel like I'm stuck in this us versus them conflict, and part of that is, you know, it's there. I could go into the details about how all this came about, but basically it was an organization of a group of people that basically split apart over some issues, and basically see it from the positive side, the person who, was the founding teacher of all this stuff, basically was able to find a lawyer to become president of the association, which then, knowing most lawyers, they can, you know, turn it into an us versus them situation and basically take over.
So you're going to run against him?
Yeah, that's what I'm planning on doing.
Okay. So the responsibility communication sheet definitely would be something to use, and I would offer that you do worksheets on any fear or whatever's coming up around it and make a conscious choice to run against him. When you said you're making a decision to run against him, then that would be more like, you know, we were talking the difference between choices and decision, and decision would be more like I was going to send that guy the email, just, you know, let him have it. So a decision would be I'm going to run against this guy just to, you know, whatever. So I would offer to clear everything else out that's unlike your being and make a choice to run consciously to make a difference. But you can go to the website if you can't find your responsibility communication sheet.
I'm aware of that. I guess what I'm sort of doing at this point is asking for some help in writing a letter to,
So you would start it out, just pull the responsibility communication sheet and go step by step through it. And so the first one would be, you know, perhaps, you know, Dear Joe or whatever his name is. And the first step is, I commit to communicating with you about this situation. I have an issue that I would like your help in processing. And then go about describing, you know, in my reality, this is what happened, or this is what I see you doing, or this is what I see the organization doing. You know, and describe the situation from your point of view, using your wording that takes responsibility for any feeling that's connected to it. And then the next paragraph, use your objective, you know, identifying it. This is, from my perception, how I saw the event take place. And there, remember, you only use what you could take a picture of or what a recording could record. Then you move into the subjective and you say, you know, and what my issue around this is. And then describe it and be sure to include your goal. This is what I would like to see happen. This is what I want. And so, you know, you could actually use the responsibility sheet and move through and your letter, let each paragraph in your letter, and they could just be little short paragraphs, represent a different step in that responsibility communication sheet. Does that help?
Yeah, but basically I want to write a letter, you know, letter to the organization, applying, you know, saying I'm running for president, and this is my issues. So that's the letter I need to come up with.
Right. Well, you can do the same thing, you know, dear to whom it may concern. You know, this is the situation as I see it, and you know, I want to communicate with you as an organization, and this is my perception, my reality, and I wish to run for president of the organization, and this is the reasoning behind it and what I would like to see accomplished. And just go down through there and then name what you are looking for from them and take responsibility, you know, for what it brings up for you. And then say, you know, where do we need to go from here to make this happen or whatever you need from them. And I would leave out any, you know, you could, when you get to the stage where you're actually mentioning the objective observation or, you know, and somewhere between the objective and the subjective, you know, what you saw this other person doing and that in your reality that it was, you know, maybe undermining the organization. And that what you want is for everybody within the organization to be fair and have a voice or whatever it is. You know, so you might want to, you know, write it first and then reread it. And anything that comes up while you're writing it, do worksheets on that. And, you know, do it in your computer where you can just go back through and change, you know, instead of handwriting it out. It'd be easier to make your changes until you are sure that you have it as a responsibility communication and not a projection communication. You know, you want to avoid sending them a letter saying, you know, he did this and you did that, and because then they're just a wall goes up and they don't hear you. And I hold the space and wish you luck.
Thank you.
And Richard, from my perspective, that responsibility communication tool is a tool for me to use with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's primarily a tool for me to use to clarify what are the issues within me that have gotten stirred up.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time when I use that tool, I don't ever communicate to another person what I learned in that tool. So for a business, for an organization, unless I hope to have a relationship with them or have some reason to believe from my previous interactions with them that they are willing to give me constructive feedback, then the process of going through the responsibility communication worksheet is a tool for me to use to clear up where I may be stirring up issues that I'm not very clear about. Because my mind is showing me the 9 bits of information that prove to me that they're wrong and I'm right. And
right. I hear that because I'd written out two things already, and I realized already that I'm stuck in this us versus them conflict.
Then perhaps what you need to do is do a series of worksheets around what your goals are and identifying clearly what your goals are that you want this person or this organization to do differently so that you wouldn't have to feel the upset you have. Cancel that goal, get access to the hidden part of your mind that's actually creating the upset, dismantle that with a series of worksheets, and then go back to the responsibility communication, or at that point, go back to writing a letter announcing your intention to run for president.
Mm-hmm.
And it will come out much more clearly without all of that distortion that Jeannie was talking about.
Right. Well, yes, yeah, certainly that's where I want to get to. I mean, the issue that I see is that the organization basically has excluded a lot of people in order to survive, but in so doing, they basically turned it into a, rather than having the organization run from a collective consciousness, it's become more a, this is how it is.
Okay, and that and that may be true. It may be very accurate. The question is, in recognizing that, does that resonate love and compassion in you or upset? And if it resonates any level of upset, do your work to dismantle the upset and the roots of it in your consciousness, since that's
right.
the only place it exists, and then decide whether or not it is appropriate and or productive for you to communicate about that to this organization or the individuals in it. And then when you do, you'll be communicating from that space of love and compassion.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's definitely where I want to get to. And so I guess I'll keep working on it.
Yeah, it may take several times of you rewriting it. You know, you could... What I do sometimes is I will write out from my carbon-based memory, you know, this is how I see the situation, you know, blah, 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 and just kind of do a brain dump. Then I go back and put the – right. So you're getting your ideas out there, but then go back through it and look at the responsibility communication. Look how many times that you would write down, you know, and I did and you did and they did and, you know, and reword it. Taken responsibility, and when this happened, this is what it brought up for me, and change the wording of it, and then go back through and reread it and rewrite it and reread it and rewrite it, and in between, each of those times that you have to change something is a worksheet, basically. And then do the worksheet, and then you'll see something a little clearer to be able to word it differently so that you're not just changing the words so that you say it right, but that you're actually really coming from that place of choice. That makes sense.
Well, yep. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Let us know how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
All right. Keep us informed.
All right.
Love you, Richard. Bye-bye. All right. We have another 517. This one's 517-243. You're on the air. Who do we have? Where are you calling from? 517? I'm assuming you're up there with Rex in Michigan. Let's try again. 517, you're on the air.
It's Missy.
There you are.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I wanted to share an experience I had last night, and actually have a little trepidation, actually, because it's moved me to, I'm still processing it, I guess, but last night when Rex came to bed, I woke up and couldn't get back to sleep, and so after, you know, laying there a while, I decided to just get up and meditate. So I started out in the hot tub because I was cold, so I was in the hot tub, and I was thinking of my mom, who's in ill health and is 78 years old, and I've been noticing her doing some things that I've noticed other people do before they make their transition. And so I was just praying that if it were in the divine master plan that her transition, when she decides to leave the earth or when God decides together that they decide that she's going home, that it be a smooth transition. And so that was kind of the thought process was just, she really has a lot of fear around death and doesn't have a lot of faith in an afterlife or whatever. And so I was just petitioning in addition to canceling some goals. And in that, something happened where as I was loving her, I had a direct experience of the fact that we're not matter. Me, Mitzi, the part that is talking to you now, was there in like an instant. I was I was just at her apartment complex, and I was there, but without my body. And it felt like the most natural thing in the world at the time. But it's been alarming to me today as I've like, I tried to recreate that, and of course I couldn't. It wasn't me that did it. But I had the experience at the time of like, oh my gosh, we really aren't matter. Here I am. And it felt like all my molecules and my particles were just really spread out and were more space than matter. And that part of me that was space, that was love, was just like really vast, overseeing the apartment complex where my mom lived. And I just knew without doubt I was there, but I was also aware of being here. And I've had the experience before with less certainty. Sometimes when I'm praying for a particular situation, I'll feel like I'm there. Like I feel like there's a part of me that actually is at the hospital, for example, when I'm praying. Then I feel like I am there. It's an odd thing. But last night when it happened, it wasn't something that I wondered or thought. I knew with certainty and found, actually. And so I just wanted to share that with the listeners that, you know, sometimes we know things intellectually. Like I've heard Michael say, you know, I don't know how many times that quote Einstein, you know, quote that matter is just our illusion. And other teachers that I've studied with have said the same thing. And sometimes you have intellectual knowledge, like I did of that, and then sometimes something happens and then it like comes home. And so I just have a new understanding of that, that part of us that isn't, that's not bound to the matter. So I just wanted to share with our listeners that experience and I don't know, hear from anyone else if they've ever had a similar experience or have any feedback about it. I would welcome it.
It's awesome, Mitzi. Cool. I personally have not had that, but I've heard Michael talk about a time where he was in a state of, I guess, meditation or prayer, and that he actually knew at that moment how he could, like, go through the walls or whatever, that, you know, it wasn't, there wasn't anything physical. And, but he said now to try to wrap his mind around it and understand it or to re-experience it or whatever, that he can't. And, you know, or to even fathom, how was it that I thought that? But he has that experience that he holds on to, that he knows he experienced it. And
Right. So
it's something just, I guess, to be with and not try to figure out. Like he said, you know, he's not been able to duplicate that again, you know, to that extent.
Right.
But, yeah, we're not probably one of the easiest things, you know, that was always a challenge for me to wrap my head around, you know, how we're not physical or whatever, mm-hmm. because we look mm-hmm. at ourselves and we see ourselves as physical, we see ourselves as different from each other and individuals and all of that. But when there was a, I think it was actually a screensaver, it might be something on Google, but it was like the power of 10,000 or something.
Yes.
And it started out, it was like a screen or a slideshow. And like the first one was of the universe, you know, looking at like the Milky Way and all the gazillion stars and just everything. And then the next one, it zoomed in by that, and I don't recall whether it was a power of 10,000, but whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
and it zoomed in, and then it was just on our Milky Way, and it zoomed in again, and then you could see the Earth, and zoomed in again, and you were on a farm, and then a leaf. And when it zoomed in that much again on the leaf, it looked exactly like the first one did, like the universe.
Right.
With all
right.
the stars and everything. And it was just like, you know, if you could really see what's there, that
there's
it's
a lot
just
of,
so
there's a
much
lot of
more.
Space. There's
yeah.
a lot of space between the matter, yeah. And I've seen
Which removes all of the limitations that we put on it. Because, you know, when we see it as solid, then we think, you know, you have to go through the door. You can't go through the wall. Or you have to
right.
travel in a car to get somewhere. You can't just poof be there. But, you know, that is actually what you experience, and I think is what's referred to as like translation, and that's where you stepped up the physical to the spiritual. And, you know, if we can do that, you know, even if, you know, when people choose to leave this planet, that they can take their body with them, so-called, you know, because it's just another part, another form of who you are, and you can choose to take it or leave it. And so it sounds like you did kind of a translation thing. And it's not about translating words.
No, and it's not something I could have ever created. So I know that it was a spiritual experience because it wasn't something I could do, obviously. And speaking of moving through the walls, that triggered a memory within me that. When Journey was a young baby, Bray and Journey were young, and we were at a workshop in some big blank hotel somewhere in Detroit, and the kids were bored and restless, and so I left the workshop, and their babysitter, whoever we had there, you know, whatever, she needed a break. So I was with the children, and they were bored, and I was chasing them down the hall, you know, just getting some energy out, you know, that kind of like, I'm going to get you game, and I'm chasing after Journey, who was, you know, two maybe or three, and he tripped and fell. And when he fell, I saw his head in the corner of the building that was lined in steel, but I did see that. I saw him pass through the wall. And it was like in slow motion. I saw all the space rearrange itself and all the molecules. I saw the steel, you know, reinforcement on the corner, and just he just passed through it and fell on the floor. And that left me with such just a profound, it changed me. That was my first experience of, oh, we aren't really solid. It would have been obviously, you know, not, it wasn't what was in the cards for Journey at that time or for me and for him to have that head injury or whatever. So his head passed through the wall, and it was just, I watched it happen. And so
yeah.
I have had that experience that we're not solid, but it's, you know, it's kind of hard to put the physical mind around that. But I do want to share with the listeners, and I'm, you know, prepared to go on mute now. I don't want to occupy any more time, but I wanted to share that with you all. And just, you know, another reminder that of who we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we appreciate you sharing that. That's definitely big.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing you in person in October. I have some
ideas. Yes, absolutely.
That looks fun.
Unless you pack
you
up and
that.
Fly down to Costa Rica.
Oh, I would love to.
We are going down
there.
That's
not happening for me right now. I've had a few months off without any clients, and now I'm kind of getting busy again. But thank you for the invite.
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the things that we're talking about is when we are up there, there's a really nice lodge in the town of Pinckney, and which is, I think, a little bit
south, maybe west of Lansing. Anyway, there's a really nice lodge that is available for us to rent. And so we thought about doing an intensive while we're up there. And then another thing is possibly doing another women's intensive. I know you didn't get to come to the one I did down in Florida, but that might be on the books for Michigan when we're up there too.
I think we could generate a lot of people to come to both of them. So I will participate in whatever way is appropriate for me to participate to get, help
awesome.
That happen.
Awesome. We're looking forward
cool.
to it. All right.
Thanks.
You take care.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we've got about 9 minutes. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue. If you're already on the switchboard, just go ahead and press 1. You have no waiting. You'll be the next in line to ask your question. So if nobody has anything, some of the stuff that's going on for Michael and I, we will be leaving here on February the 1st and headed back towards Tennessee. My parents have their 60th wedding anniversary celebration. And then after that, then we're flying to Costa Rica. And we've moved the intensive out. It won't start until March the 7th. It'll go from March the 7th to March the 15th. A 9-day fly in Costa Rica. And so the 2 weeks prior to that, Michael and I are actually going to be living with a family there in Costa Rica for 2 weeks, being totally immersed in Spanish, and we will be attending class, and I believe it's 4 hours a day that we'll be in class to learn, besides just having to speak to the family that we're staying with in Spanish, and we're going to be learning it. So that's awesome. This coming Sunday, Michael's going to be speaking at a Spanish church here in Branson, and we have a lady who's going to be interpreting. And then we will be going in May to Benton City, Washington, and we're doing a full week there with those of you who have been to some of the intensives may have met Sandra and William Kettle. And so they're having us up there, and there'll be some other things up in their area get scheduled while we're there. So you'll just have to watch the website for that. And we did a video last night with Michael. It took us several times to get it all worked out, but I'm editing that right now. So there'll be a video email going out probably tomorrow with him giving some of the updates of what all's going on with Costa Rica and the intensives and things. Then Heartland starts up July the 7th with the Food Fund Forgiveness and Work, and followed by 16-day codependence and communication. That's a brand new intensive. This will be the first year that we've done that. And the rest of the schedule may change. It just depends on how many people sign up or for what. So you'll just have to watch the website for changes there. And then we'll be in Grand Rapids in October. So that's what is transpiring so far with us. And like I said, go to the website and watch for changes. And in the meantime, if you see any changes on our new website, drop me an email. And I'm trying to work on those now. I'm not trying to change my wording. I am working on those right now. I'm getting those all in. So if you're on the phone, press 1. Put you in line. Nobody's touching you. All right. Tim, do you have anything else to add? Or?
Well, I would just say, are you there?
Yeah, I was just going to say two hands just went up, but go for it.
Well, I would just say thanks to Rex and Mitzi for their input today, and I've had one or two experiences similar to Mitzi's in my life and learned from my teachers long ago that exactly what she said, that I can't recreate them, and I'll pretty much waste my life if I spend time trying to recreate that. It's something that's a gift, and I don't want to ruin the gift by trying to hold on to it or recreate it and make it dead. So, and then I'll let you take another call. I have to run to get ready for my next patient. I have some work I have to do before that, but I will look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.
Okay. All right. And thanks for your help, Dr. Jim.
All right. Take care.
Appreciate you. Okay. So we have two more callers. The first one is area code 813. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Kathy from Tampa.
Well, hello,
yes,
Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I do have a lot of experiences. It seems like the astral projection that I've experienced exactly what Mitzi was saying. And I do it fairly often, and it's amazing to experience that totally.
Awesome. It's pretty cool that you just called because I actually started an email to you this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right, because when I was going through what I had been doing with all of the traveling, and, you know, we were out of the country for 8 weeks, and with everything that's been going on, I have not paid attention to the website like I should have. And Susan Danielle have been doing a lot of changes. But when I would get emails from people saying, you know, pay attention to this or that or whatever, I would just keep it in one folder. And so what I'm doing now is going through those and making the changes. And you had actually sent me one telling me of some things that needed to be corrected. So
yeah,
I was dropping you an email this morning, but I haven't hit send yet. So that's pretty neat that you called.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you called in. Glad you shared that. Yeah, it's like I said, I haven't had that experience, but I have heard several people that have, and Michael has, and I think it's pretty neat, taking it to another level.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, you know, you get to travel different places and everything, and you experience life in a deeper way. Totally.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So everything's going good with you there in Tampa?
Yeah, it's really good. I traveled to visit my family, and I have a sister has 6 kids, and my other sister has 2, and I put them together and said, well, we're going to do a worksheet. And I was really surprised the changes about it. You know, I wasn't sure how I was going to do about it, and I started teaching them the whole thing and making classes about it to them, and it was incredible. You know, and actually at the end with the sheets, they actually put, how do you feel? Happy. They were like, oh, wow, you know. and the diagrams when they do the painting and everything were so incredible. It was amazing. So my sisters were really happy about it. Yeah, they kind of wait for me to come back and continue on. I said, well, you can continue on, you know.
Right.
They loved it. Yeah, they loved it. How to incorporate that in their lives is incredible. So that was a great experience.
Well, very good. Well, I'm glad. Thanks for sharing that. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there anything we can do to support you today?
I was just been listening to most of the shows all the time, and it just you just go to a deeper level of understanding. And your whole life pretty much is changes totally, because your perspective changes about the world and the people. And once you know it's all about you, then that's it. You just work on yourself. And so life becomes lighter. It becomes, you know, you can save life in a different way. And it's just so much fun to live life like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I share with everyone that this is really amazing. So it's just about you and everything. So
we're glad you're on our team.
Oh yeah, definitely. I have a lot of dreams about you and the cosmic dreams about, you know, how this work is getting to a deeper level in the world. So it's amazing.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, and everyone.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we're down to about 60 seconds, so I'm going to have to close out the show. So we did have one more caller, but if you'll call in tomorrow, you'll be the first up. And so I'm going to end it the way that Michael always does, and that is to go out and create the best year yet of your eternal life. And we'll see you tomorrow for Aramaic Friday with Dale Hoffman. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.1.com. whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.